Hi, everyone. Tony from Hack the Movies here. And this week is the 40th anniversary of John Carpenter's The Thing. And we thought it'd be fun to look at John Carpenter's career and figure out what's his best movie. Hello, Crystal. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Tony.
What's up, Tony?
How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
I'm alive.
Yeah. For
40 years of The Thing.
Yeah.
Feels like just yesterday I was in the theaters watching it.
Well, didn't we have a conversation where you were like, Stranger Things, because they had a Thing poster. Nobody had a Thing poster.
Yeah, that's true. No, I obviously didn't see it in the theaters. I wasn't alive.
Are you sure?
I was going to say. I thought you were 50-something.
You know what's funny? They are putting it back into theaters, and this month is just too busy with too many games and whatnot. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to see it. Luckily, I own it on Blu-ray, VHS, DVD, HD, DVD, and that's an action figure of Kurt Russell.
That's really cool.
I have the Laserdisc, too.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
And you're looking at my collection incomplete? Wow.
You can't have everything, Tony.
I don't know what to tell you.
But yes, The Thing is usually considered his best movie. By a lot of people,
yeah.
And especially with the anniversary coming up, people are saying that. But I thought it'd be funny. Let's look over his career here.
Yeah.
I'm going to breeze through these titles here a little bit, and then we'll focus on like what our favorites are and what we think is the best.
Are we doing top five or top three?
We can do three.
Three, I think.
Yeah, I can do three.
Okay. So
maybe
in case
you, runner up.
In case you didn't know, this is his filmography, not counting the shorts and whatnot he did in college. First one that started it all, Dark Star.
The Dan O'Bannon classic.
The Dan O'Bannon classic. Dark Star, did you get a chance to see
it?
It's on Tubi. It's good.
Is it really?
And it's go back and watch our Alien episode. It is the origin of Alien. Because they have an alien.
Are you serious?
They have an alien on the ship, and Dan O'Bannon's got to deal with it. And then Dan O'Bannon wrote Alien. Although the alien in Dark Star is a beach ball.
Yeah. I have to say this now.
There's a lot of clever like camera work in that movie. Like the elevator scene. It's very clearly they put the elevator on the side, but like it's like, wow, they had a it works. It really works.
It's like indie filmmaking at its finest.
Yes.
For sure.
And then he did Assault on Precinct 13. I don't remember liking this one that much.
It's good. I think you should go back and give it a rewatch.
I think I should go back and give it another shot.
They
Which
remade
one's that
it.
About?
Didn't see that.
That's where what is it? The gang takes over the police station.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They remade it in like the 2000s. I remember that. Oh, keep in mind, this is best John Carpenter that we've seen.
Yeah.
And then of course, Halloween.
Michael?
Yes.
Joe, I don't know if you noticed,
What's
but
Halloween?
I do have the Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray, VHS collector's edition, DVD 25th anniversary edition. And over there I have the Blockbuster Presents Halloween.
Yay.
Right,
VHS
but do you have the Mita Halloween VHS?
I don't.
Mm.
Actually,
do
man,
you
I
have
might.
It?
There's another.
Yes.
Of course you
I
can.
Have another Halloween VHS in that box over there. That might be it.
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's the one that like really propelled him.
It really
Yeah, it was
did.
The big one. Yeah.
That
yeah.
was the big one. That was the big one.
Jeff Lieberman passed on that movie just PS. Imagine that.
Really?
When it was the Babysitter Murders.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like how they referenced that. I like how they referenced that in the new movies. They call it the Babysitter Murders.
Yeah, yeah.
He made two TV movies after this. Mm-hmm. Now you've seen one, I've seen the other.
Yes.
I haven't seen you.
You've seen Someone's Watching Me.
Someone's Watching Me. That one's like super hard to find too. And
yeah.
I don't eat.
What's that one about? Like
it's some chick is being stalked, but yeah. It's like a precursor to Halloween. So I don't know if that's what got him the job or what have you.
It came out the same year, so I wonder. Yeah.
It was definitely made before Halloween.
Really?
Yeah, but I've seen it. I know that it's good. I can't remember too much other than that.
Is it like a standard like girl next door being stalked kind of thing?
From what I remember, yeah. But yeah. I don't have it. I saw it through a buddy who had a copy of it.
I got to hunt that down.
Yeah.
Then this one I have seen. I really want to rewatch it. Elvis.
You told me about this. So
his first collaboration with Kurt Russell was the 1979 Elvis movie.
Did Kurt Russell not play Elvis again like later?
Oh, yeah. He voiced Elvis in Forrest Gump. He played...
Yeah, but didn't he actually play Elvis in another movie besides that one?
I'm sure he has. I know he was like an Elvis-themed guy in that horrible Graceland, 3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah,
that's what you're thinking. Yeah.
But I think he is the voice of Elvis in Forrest Gump.
Gotcha.
Elvis is really good from what I remember. I saw it in college. I thought it was really good. They kind of like explore like the weird side of Elvis. Like,
oh, that's cool.
How his weird family life like influenced him. He's constantly monologuing to his dead brother he never knew.
You should do like a comparison of John Carpenter's Elvis and that new Elvis movie that's
coming out. The Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that he did all of those and then did Elvis. It's just a totally different vibe.
Well, the reason, from what I remember, the reason he got Elvis is because whoever was doing it, it's like, oh, you directed Halloween and did the music, you got this movie.
Did he do the music in Elvis?
I don't know if he did the music in Elvis. No, I gotta like look through it.
Is it like old synth versions of Elvis songs?
I think it was one of those like,
I want the synth horror version of Elvis.
I think it was one of those things where it's like, well, this guy understands music and movies, he's probably the best person for this job. And I really, really enjoyed the film. I'm actually eager to rewatch it. Of course, after that, he did The Fog.
Yes. Yes, had a good
super trouble production. He actually went back and like shot like a third of the movie or something like that.
And the studio kind of made him put like a little bit more gore and stuff because you weren't supposed to see the pirates a lot. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, now they look like zombies. and then this is when things start getting big. Escape from New York.
Oh yeah,
in 1981.
What a great fucking movie, dude!
It is.
It's so much fun.
He's just coming out though. Every single year, though.
Yeah, he was on fire in the
80s. 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 86, 87, 88, 92, 93, 94.
Okay, we get it.
I mean, he's like the big...
But that's insane.
I would say he's like the biggest cult director of like
probably,
films.
Yeah.
But it's so... We all know it's so hard to make a movie already.
Yeah.
And to do that many year after year after year.
I mean, if the money's coming in from the studio and they're like, hey, you got an idea? And he's like, you put on these glasses and you see, there's aliens among us, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of aliens, right after Escape from New York, boom, The Thing.
Yeah.
Not a big hit. Not a big hit.
I think it did well, though.
It did okay, I guess, but I just saw... If I looked at it right, I think Elvira was at the red carpet premiere for The Thing. If I'm right, I'm going to cut to an image of that. I saw a thing of Elvira with The Thing on a red carpet. I don't know if that was for the premiere or something else.
Well, again, cult. We're talking like one of the biggest cult movies of all time.
Yeah. Speaking of cult, next year, Christine.
Yeah.
Yes.
What a great
flick. Stephen King.
Yes, it is.
One of the best adaptions, too.
Yes.
There's not that many great adaptions of...
Did I say adaptions?
I just said it because he's
adaptation.
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 I literally said
isn't
adaptation because that's what you just
the fuck
said.
Up.
Adaptation?
Adaptation. Adaption?
The internet will decide if it's right or not. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, Johanna made fun of me for saying enlarging, but that was a word. So she just looks like an idiot.
Enlarging.
Anyway.
Treatment? How's that?
Treatment?
Sure. yeah, I'm surprised you didn't do more Stephen King stuff. Because Christine is really good.
I'm shocked after, like, even... With In the Mouth of Madness, which I want to get into, you would think he'd be doing so many Stephen King.
Yeah.
After just that movie alone. But I wish he did. I really wish he did, because a lot of the Stephen King movies, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I love The Shining. Mm. I do love all them. But if he did more Stephen King, I feel like they would be a little bit more truer to the books.
Yeah.
He also has the kind of grit that I think a Stephen King adaptation needs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He
understands it a little bit more.
Yeah.
He gets more into, like, he understands, it, at least for me, it feels as if he understands Stephen King's head more than, let's put out this scary movie and try to make it
totally
Stephen King-esque, when he can actually bring out Stephen King's
I would
work.
Prefer more John Carpenter Stephen King movies than Mick Garris Stephen King movies.
I love Sleepwalkers.
Sleepwalkers is fun.
And The Stand is good too.
I haven't watched The Stand in a while. How was the new Stand?
What, the TV series?
The new one, yeah.
I haven't seen. I'm still reading through that book too.
I watched the first
Holy
two episodes,
shit.
But it's really good so
is
far.
Is it really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. After that, Starman. I remember really liking Starman.
Waiting in the sky. again, weird. Okay, total.
It's a weird
completely,
movie.
Yeah, but Starman now we're doing a killer car movie and we're just shifting right into drama.
Yeah. So
what is
love story?
What is
romance?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an alien.
It's an alien, but it's more, it's a drama, like, romance story. Yeah.
I like when he learns to drive from her.
Yeah. Red light, stop. Green light, go. Yellow light, go. Very fast.
A sexy Mork and Mindy kind of feel, you know?
That's a good way to describe it.
Oh, wow.
Or
okay.
Maybe not sexy. Maybe that's the wrong word, but... Yeah.
Speaking of tonal shift, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
Now, this one was a huge flop. And I remember because I went to see this movie screened at the Trocadero, rest in peace.
Yes.
I went to the one Trocadero event that had the most people kicked out for being drunk.
Huh. No fucking way.
Yeah, it was the first ever Dick Show Road Rage in Philly. Us dickheads, we get a little carried away. Well, you heard what happened to me at the last road race. But yeah, apparently,
you
like,
stop eating so much chocolate.
I think it was peanut butter.
I remember Dick because I left eventually, but I remember Dick talking on the show that I think they complained that they haven't had to kick that many drunks out.
Holy shit!
The Trocadero, like, so
I screened
many drunks.
A lot of my movies there, so I'm basically John Carpenter.
Oh, okay, anyway, yeah, right, gotcha.
I'm kind of the John Carpenter of YouTube. Everyone says that. I'm also the Cody Rhodes of YouTube. And if you look at the views of my Northman review, I'm the Robert Eggers of YouTube.
Yes. Congratulations.
Yes. So Big Trouble in China, I went to see it screened at the Trocadero. Maybe this is one of the reasons the Trocadero isn't around anymore. I think they said they were screening a different movie. But then they also said that it would be a live interview with John Carpenter. Failed to mention it was over Skype. They just let that detail out.
Oh, no.
Well, they were trying to get asses in seats.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
That probably pissed off so many people.
God, that place sucked for audio when you were screening short films. God, anyway.
There's a lot of venues in Philly that kind of suck on a lot of
Well, Trocadero is dead now.
I
wonder why.
I still love it.
I did see the Whitest Kids You Know there. They were funny.
Oh, that sounds fun.
So Big Trouble in Little China, I remember people were asking him about doing a sequel, and he went, guys, the movie flopped. He like looked at the audience like, no one's greenlighting a goddamn sequel for this. And then I heard they were with The Rock, but it never came to fruition.
Oh, I'm happy it didn't.
Yeah.
Although when me and my good friend, Macaulay Culkin, was on the old show, Rental Reviews,
What's Rental Reviews?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
He was talking about the sequel and whatnot, and I think Kieran came up with the idea that the big furry monster, they just shave him, and then it just looks like The Rock.
Oh, actually, there you go.
And then I was thinking, I'm like, oh, The Rock should be him and What's-Her-Face's son. It would make no sense Kim that Cattrall. They gave birth to a 6-foot Samoan, but it would be really funny. So, Big Trouble China, Little China, not a big hit. And then crazy. I don't think this movie was a big hit either, The Prince of Darkness.
No.
Love it.
That's one people don't talk about a lot, but I've seen
been getting loves
in the past
years. When did you find out about Prince of Darkness? Because I was a huge John Carpenter fan. I didn't find out about it until like high school, I think.
Yeah, that's about around that time.
And I stumbled on it on accident. Like I was going through like movies and they were playing Prince of Darkness. And I'm like, this is John Carpenter. I've never seen this one. And I loved it. I famously told the story on Rental Reviews where when it cuts to the VHS footage, dream sequence.
Yeah.
Like I thought someone like hacked the signal on my TV and I got like terrified for a second.
That's awesome.
And like really, and I was scared for the rest of the day.
What? What's going on? What?
The concepts of that movie are fucking incredible.
It really is. And the fact that it didn't, that's actually making me realize like how many actors that John Carpenter keeps bringing back
too.
Because you see so many of them, especially my Sam Loomis.
Oh, Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance.
He was so fucking good.
God.
You just see another side of him. I just loved him in that movie.
It's very
good. You know what I rewatched last night?
What?
Puma Man.
Oh, God.
The Italian ripoff of Superman where Donald Pleasance is the Lex Luthor type. But he's dressed like me and Joe in the Dune episode. I don't want to even say dude.
Why
it looks like
it?
Our costumes from the Dune episode more so than the Dune costume.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in a James Bond movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was. Oh, God. The Dark Knight Rises poster was about to fall. Yeah, he was the first time I think we saw Blofeld, which is the image they use for Dr. Evil.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yes. Sorry. I'm not very familiar with
James Bond. And then after that, he did They Live, which I rewatched over the weekend.
Oh, it's now on Shudder.
It's now on Shudder?
Is it? No, I'm sorry. Mouth of Madness is now on
Shudder. In the Mouth of Madness is now on Shudder. Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
I got to see that in 35 at Mahoning.
I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, yeah.
But
They Live is on Peacock.
That's what it was. Yes. They Live is on Peacock.
Now, this one, I think I've seen it. I don't remember a goddamn thing about it. Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
I'm pretty sure that was on TV a lot.
That movie was supposed to be directed by Ivan Reitman.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. And it was a fucking nightmare, just production. The dude who wrote it, I don't remember his name, but they just weren't seeing eye to eye.
Mm.
And then Carpenter picked it up. And he said Chevy Chase was one of the worst people to work with.
People say that
everyone
a lot about Chevy Chase.
Everyone.
So in Memoirs of an Invisible Man, ILM does the effects, and it's very effects heavy.
Mm.
And they're trying to do all these like invisible things with him. So they have to put him in like blue screen makeup and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He was constantly just taking the shit off, like before they were finished shooting. I would have shot him in the head.
That's not good.
Like, I would have just walked off that set. Fuck that. Ugh. That sounds like a nightmare.
And then here's another one that I haven't seen until recently.
Yes.
Body Bags.
Yes.
Great.
He directed two. He's the host really of the good. Movie. He's yeah. like the guy yeah. in
the mortician.
The mortician.
He's also on Shudder.
Yes. Scream Factory did a fucking yeah. awesome release of that.
He directed the segment The Gas Station. Mm-hmm. That's the one where Sam Raimi is yeah. killed before yeah. the movie. Yeah. Like you just see the picture of him. And he did Hair with Stacy Keach.
That's such a good one.
Who's coming up in another movie we're going to talk about.
Oh, yes, he is. And who else is it? What the fuck's his name? I just forgot his name. The guy... Never mind. David Warner. There it is.
Okay, David Warner.
Yeah, he's
yes.
like the bad guy.
I love David Warner.
Yeah, me too.
David Warner, who would come back the next year for In the Mouth of Madness.
Yes.
This is another one it took me a while to see until like college, and I really liked it. I'm like, I love this idea.
Yeah, it's
so yeah. good.
Really good. I think it's one of his best movies.
And I'm sure we have more to say about it. Yeah. We're almost done this list because then it gets, I'm guessing that was not a big hit. That was a financial flop.
Yep.
I just
most of these are, and then they found their audience later.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say.
So then,
yes.
of course, what do you do after a financial flop? You remake something that boomers remember. He did the remake of Village of the Damned, which I actually liked. I think Christopher Reeve was in that.
Yeah, that was his last movie, I think, before he was paralyzed.
Was it really?
Yeah. I think so. Oh, yeah. One of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember really liking this. Not as much as the original, but I really dug it. The VHS cover used to scare me as a kid in the Blockbuster. Just those little kids staring
at
you.
The yellow eyes, yeah.
And then, of course, what do you do when another thing fails? You make a sequel that no one asked for, and you get Escape from L.A. Now, luckily... Unlike a lot of these sequels that no one asked for, Escape from L.A. is perfect. I don't think we have any problems with it. I think it takes what they did in Escape from New York and expands on it and makes it a much better film.
It's fine.
I agree. And the CGI really opened up new doors for John Carpenter. And then, of course, Vampires.
Oh, man.
The James Woods classic.
I haven't seen that.
And I've been wanting to watch it.
Tony, did you get a little wood when you watched that movie?
A little bit.
A little mahogany?
Not very good. It's not a very good
movie. I know. I know it's not good.
It's actually a fun time. It just feels incomplete.
Yeah. What it did do was spawn a direct-to-video sequel with Bon Jovi. Which led to one of the funniest Triumph the Insult comic dog interviews.
I forgot about him.
Cut to the interview now.
You're in a vampire movie, yes?
Yes.
Finally a role that requires you to suck.
Ghost of Mars, which I have there. I didn't have time to rewatch the VHS tape, so I know I should have rewatched it because maybe it is the best John Carpenter movie. I don't know. But from my memories, I don't remember it being very good. What do you think?
It's like John Carpenter phoned himself in.
Really?
Yeah. It's just nuts.
It's got bad visual effects. It's like it's kind of Doom where they're basically on Mars, but then these like, what are they? They're like zombies. They go crazy and they get like turned.
So is it just towards the end? It just wasn't like last like main movies.
It was the movie that he abandoned. No. Was it? Yeah, it was the movie he abandoned Hollywood over.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then he did two Masters of Horror TV movies.
Cigarette Burns is great.
I didn't see Cigarette Burns.
Oh my God, dude. Do that tonight. If you're not doing anything tonight, watch Cigarette Burns.
Now, what is
Burns.
Cigarette Burns about? Just give us a brief.
Yeah. Cigarette Burns is about this like lost film called La Fin Absolue du Monde.
Okay.
Which is the end of the final end of the world or the end of the world.
Okay.
And it's basically Norman Reedus is in it, and he has to find this film for Udo Kier because he's looking for it. It's like this super rare film. And upon the first showing of the film, like, it made all these people go crazy, and there was like a big, like, you know, they like killed each other and stuff and all this crazy shit surrounding it. But it has to deal with like this real angel that was on film, and they like cut its wings off and all this stuff. It's okay. Really cool. I don't want to ruin too much of it. Check
where
it out.
Where the hell can I watch Masters of Horror?
Yeah.
I have the box set, so.
Maybe it's on.
Of course
Amazon.
You do.
Wait, it's in that skull.
Yeah.
I think now. That was the first season.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I saw his second Masters of Horror Pro-Life, which I thought was really fucking awesome. So here's the story of it. A girl is trying to get an abortion at this clinic, and Ron Perlman is her super, like, crazy conservative father.
Perlman.
Wait, get ready for this. Get ready for this. You're not ready. You're not ready for this.
Okay.
So Ron Perlman, he's, like, taking the clinic hostage because he doesn't want his daughter to get an abortion. He's, like, going around. I think he kills people. And it's like, oh, no, this crazy guy is going to be shooting up this abortion clinic. Turns out the reason she's getting an abortion is because she was raped by a demon and was about to give birth to a demon baby.
Well, they think it's God or like an angel.
Yes. Ron Perlman's like, this baby needs to be born, even though the baby is going to be a demon baby.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't know that until it actually comes out.
Yeah.
You know what? It's not as good as Cigarette Burns.
Not one of his best.
Cigarette Burns sounds fucking awesome.
It's really, and it's in tune. I guess I'll just say it now, but it's in tune with like the Apocalypse trilogy, kind of.
Okay, cool.
It's almost like the Wind in the Keyhole of the Dark Tower series, kind of just tacked on at the end. It's very cool.
Sweet.
And then his final directorial film was The Ward from 2010, about women in like an insane asylum. But I think
Split.
Huh?
Split, right?
No.
Oh.
No. The Ward.
Oh, okay.
No, The Ward. They're in an insane asylum, and I think there's like ghosts and stuff. I only saw it once years ago. I remember it being like, whatever. It's not the worst thing ever.
Don't they have a split? Yeah, the chick has a split personality, doesn't she? That's like the twist.
From what I remember. Spoiler! I thought I remembered Ghost. I haven't watched it in a really long time. I remember very few things. I know Daniel Pannebecker from The Flash is in it. Mm-hmm. As a supporting character. And the thing is, with these kind of movies, you need a really good lead actress to really like connect with in the film.
Yeah.
And the woman he got just was not up to the task. She did a really bad job in this movie.
Who was it?
Let's just say she shit the bed. Anyway, now we've gone over briefly his directorial catalog. I know he produced a lot of movies. Halloween 3 doesn't count. He didn't direct it.
That's why he was like, so what's your favorite John Carpenter movie?
He's like, Halloween 3. And I'm like, that's not.
No, it's the ones that he directed.
Tommy Lee Wallace. But, I mean, it was created by John Carpenter.
Yeah, but we're talking about directed.
He did. His soundtrack is actually more. So it looks like 77 on his soundtrack, 60 for writer, 40 for composer, 24 for music department, and 32 for director.
Well, writer, do they count just characters by? Because then you factor in all the Halloween sequels.
Which is kind of bullshit.
Yeah, it does say characters by.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yes.
A soundtrack. Holy shit.
He's cashing a check for sure.
I saw
him on tour. It was cool.
I want to see him on tour so bad.
I didn't know he went on tour.
Yeah, my buddy Chris Barr got me tickets for that show for my birthday one.
I really want to. I'm not a live music guy.
Why?
I just don't really like live
Are you
music.
Like an earplug guy?
You don't like live music?
Rarely.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, I guess I just don't go to concerts, but whenever I see live music, it's like with friends at a bar, and then you gotta talk over the music.
No. You're going to the wrong things.
Yeah.
You're going to see Big Trouble in Little China with a bunch of fucking drunk people, which I can't stand when there's people that won't shut the fuck up during the movie, even if I've seen it 100 times.
No, I'm fine with that. That makes the movie better sometimes.
I can't believe you said you're not live.
That was actually one of the most fun times I had watching Big Trouble in Little China. What was that?
I can't believe you said you're not a live music fan.
Yeah, I'm not a big live music guy, but I did go to an Alanis Morissette cover band last week.
Yeah.
At the bar, and I knew all the lyrics to all the words.
Also,
the
that songs. Was not me dancing there.
Oh, yeah, someone thought that was you dancing the video.
I do not dance badly.
What What about when they play? I've worked tons of these events where it's the movie and then you have an orchestra play.
I've never been to one of those.
Oh, they're so good.
I did one at the Philomoka. Well, when Philomoka was closed and they put it at some other like club down the street, they had Claudio Simonetti come with Claudio Simonetti's Goblin.
Oh,
and they did the entire Deep Red Profondo Rosso soundtrack to the movie. And it was crazy because it was like me and my wife and like two other people. And I'm fucking sitting like 5 feet away from Claudio.
I saw
Goblin in Brooklyn, and then I saw half a Goblin because it wasn't the entire original band.
Oh really?
So half in Brooklyn and the other half in where the hell did Starland Ballroom or somewhere?
I love Starland Ballroom.
Yeah, and no, they played with Zombie. That was fucking great.
In 2013, October 2013 is when they played in Philly. It was like their first tour in America or something.
Yeah,
like
I have
that.
The T-shirt.
I have the sign poster.
But I was in New York.
Oh, gotcha. It was so
the Haunt
fucking
Love
good.
One. I have like this foil Haunt Love poster that hangs. I mean, the one that's hanging up in my bathroom upstairs.
The best concert I ever went to was Neil Diamond in 2008. I love Neil Diamond.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have so many of his records.
I'll take them. Anyway,
I wasn't going to give them to you.
You can find them at the flea market.
Now,
Jesus,
let's really,
Goodwill is nothing
enough
but
about
Neil
live
Diamond.
Music.
Oh my god,
Perry
I talk
Como
about
Christmas
live music
albums.
For
let's
fucking
really
hours.
Dive deep into a couple of these films.
Okay.
The music's so good.
So we'll do two favorites and then what we think is the best, okay?
Okay.
So Joe, what's your first favorite John Carpenter film?
I've been thinking about this for like a week. All right. And I'm going to say my favorite one, I'm going to steal your thunder on this, probably, is In the Mouth of Madness.
Yep.
Now, the reason for that is that I'm a big Lovecraft fan. Mm. And throughout the entire filmography of John Carpenter, you've seen all types of nods and kind of story beats and ideas that emanate from the influence of Lovecraft. So In the Mouth of Madness really captures that for me in a big way. And it kind of has this, I love how he incorporates like the author in it too. It's Jürgen Prochnow now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, what the hell happened to his career? He was in Dune, this. He was in a bunch of big movies. Maybe Judge Dredd is what happened.
And then
to
he did
career.
House of the Dead.
Because then he did, yeah. Yeah, then he does like shit
he's
like
in
Wing.
Dot's Boot
for does like Wing Commander, and then he ends up being in House of the Dead. It's like, oof.
Paycheck. But anyway,
I watched a little bit of In the Mouth of Madness last night, and then I passed out. Not because of the movie, but because I was working until 1:30 a.m.
Oh, poor baby.
Sam Neill is incredible in that movie.
Sam Neill is great in it.
I got the Sutter Kane replica covers from this guy in like Sweden.
You're
I think.
Kidding me.
Yeah, I've had it from years ago. I'll dig it out and maybe you can show the.
By
picture.
The way, I really relate to Sam Neill now in the beginning of the film. Mm-hmm. When everyone's talking about something that's popular, and he's like, "What?" Like, they're like, Sutter Kane. It reminded me of, like, Game of Thrones. Like, you watch Game of Thrones? Like,
did
no,
you read
I didn't.
Sutter Kane?
I didn't get around to Game of Thrones yet. And then, like, what was it, the first year? It's like, Mandalorian. Did you see Mandalorian? And I was like, no, it looks terrible. And you gotta see it. Okay, I will. And then I watch. I'm like, oh, this is, like, the worst thing ever. Little did I know, they further ruin it. But yeah, so I'm really related to him. Like, people are obsessed with Sutter Kane. He's like, I don't give a shit about it. And then even when he's reading the book, he's like, yeah, it kind of hooks you in, but it's pretty dumb. And I'm like, I really relate to this character so much.
But what if Pedro Pascal just started appearing like
oh
in your
my
room,
God.
And Baby Yoda just started like popping out of your toilet or something?
You are actually in Mandalorian. You have to know
why.
That was one of the cool, like the trippiest things I saw when I first saw this movie. Before I got like real into David Lynch stuff, which ends up out trippying this.
Oh,
I
we
did
should
think
do
that
a
was
David Lynch episode.
Yeah, we should. Oh God, I got to do a deep dive on a lot of his films.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I like when he like goes to the town, he sees the black church, which is a real black church in somewhere in Toronto.
Oh really? Yeah.
Is
Hobbs
that
End,
where they filmed it or?
Ontario. They filmed it somewhere in Canada. But yeah, I love the whole idea that like enough people believing in this like brings it to life.
Yeah, it's like this tulpa kind of thing. It's really neat.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It led to the whole famous like I'm not insane.
Well, oh yeah, when he's in his cell.
Yeah,
I love when he's eating popcorn in the fucking movie theater.
Oh my god, and he's just fucking losing
and
it.
He just
laughing.
Loses it. He just loses
the whole
it.
Movie. You really have to pay attention to too.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, So out there in the galaxy far, far away, the Mandalorian has manifested. Is that what you're telling me?
I guess so. Oh. Yeah, I guess so. And whatever other new shit people were watching that I just haven't gone around to or reading. Like, oh, did you read The Hunger Games? Read The Hunger Games? Mm. Did you read The Hunger Games?
I actually did.
They're really good.
They're all right. Second book is pretty good.
The movies were okay until, I mean, the first one, it was, derivative of a million things. But then, I got into, the second and third one. By the fourth one, you could tell Jennifer Lawrence checked out. Mm. And she's just sleepwalking through that role.
That last book is fucking weird, dude. There's, lizard people and shit when they go to the Capitol. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, they're in the movie. We're brief.
Are they? I didn't see
that. Well, there's, a variation of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't get that big into it. What it reminded me was the Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
Whenever
That's the one.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Do you read J.K. Rowling? I'm only her tweets, and I agree with every one of them.
Oh my god.
But I haven't gotten around to her books. I haven't gotten around to. That's my favorite thing to say to people. I cracked up someone here at work one day because people were talking about J.K. Rowling. I'm like, yeah, I don't read her books, only her tweets. It took a minute for the joke to sink in.
Oh, I just saw somebody turning into a Dementor, just like, you read J.K. Rowling.
Yes,
kills a fucking
exactly
cop with an axe.
That's the part that hooked me on the movie, by the way, because I'm watching the movie. I'm like, all right, what's this about? And the crazy guy tries to kill him, and I'm like, okay. I've seen that before in a John Carpenter movie. And then it was just like, oh, by the way, that was his agent. I'm like, all right, now I'm invested. What's happening
here? That's why you got invested? There was so...
That's what got me hooked in the beginning of the movie. I'm like, all right, there's more here.
You don't find that that's the agent until later in the movie.
No, not you find it pretty early in the movie.
Do you?
Yeah, before they send him off, they said that was his agent.
And that's why I think
that's right. When they're in the office.
That's why he's finally like, yeah, I think let's do this, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I didn't just watch it, so don't quote me.
I just watched it yesterday.
Yeah, you can watch it on Shudder. If you have a Shudder account.
Well, I bought it. So I didn't realize that until I bought it.
Well, that's the way to do it. You should own this movie.
Well, I wish I bought it, so
I do need to get it now. Yeah.
I did a John Carpenter marathon yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, let me rewatch the movies I haven't seen in a hot minute. I've seen The Thing and Halloween a gazillion times, so let me go back. And The Mouth of Madness I ended up just buying it through Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And then I saw a Facebook thing saying, oh yeah, Shudder has it
for free.
Thank you for sending that to me so I didn't have to buy it.
Again, I think Scream Factory released a nice Blu-ray too. So
I would love.
And Prince of Darkness.
I have the 4K Blu-ray Prince of Darkness.
Oh, there you go. It's beautiful. It's got the original art on it too.
Yeah. My whole thing is if there's a good movie, I will actually buy a physical form of it, though. Yeah. So I'm kind of sad that I bought it digitally and not the physical form.
Oh, you're
That's
good.
What made me sad.
It's the thing
you can't
of
return it.
Well, not only can you not return it, but you also can't take it off Amazon and put it on a disc or have an actual file of it. It's just like, well, you bought it and it's on your account until it dies.
I mean, there's a way to put it on the disc. It's very time consuming, but yes.
But that made me sad. And I was maybe I'll find it at a good one. That's where I get all my DVDs and VHS.
Well, there you go,
But yeah.
Also, okay. I don't know if you know this, but you have two people here that have a shit ton of fucking movies.
Yeah. Well, if you have duplicates.
Chris, I don't know if you know this, but you hang out in the video store often.
Yeah, I know.
We can get you movies if you need them.
Okay. At a price. Anyway,
you've
been freeloading in this store for 2 years now. You got to start.
Pay up.
It has been almost 2 years. Holy shit.
The late fees are outrageous. Yeah.
But yeah, in the mouth of
madness. No, I just steal the shit. The cover work. The cover of the VHS, or at least I saw of
on it's like the pages Prime. With the page.
The
yeah.
book alone, because I'm such a book dork, is awesome. Yeah. I love that artwork, that cover.
It's so cool.
Just going into the whole story aspect of it, and it's so many twists and turns in it, and such good effects.
Oh, yeah,
and even the title, In the Mouth of Madness is kind of a play on At the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything is. Isn't there it's very Lovecraft.
Wasn't there
an
18-foot wall of monsters that they built for the movie?
Yeah. At the very end, when Jürgen Prochnow was like, this is the madness.
Yeah.
Because you're in the mouth of it now. And then they show it all. It's cool. And it's running down this thing behind him and stuff. It's cool.
But yeah, I highly recommend that one.
It's really, really fucking good.
Crystal.
Very good.
What's your first, not first favorite, but your first pick for favorite John Carpenter movie?
Mouth of Madness.
Well,
sorry, I took that from you.
It's so in depth.
What,
and you, Okay, what's my second?
What's your second pick for?
It's okay. It's okay.
Best John Carpenter, favorite John Carpenter movie.
They Live. Okay. I would actually say They Live.
This one I rewatched over the weekend. God damn it. There was one convention. I'm still trying to hunt down the pictures. I don't have them backed up digitally, but I met Roddy Piper. And like I got like with the glasses with him.
That's awesome.
This one I actually haven't seen too much. Mm-hmm. I did rewatch it this weekend. And I'm like, right now, this is the most important John Carpenter movie because, you know me, fucking government and authoritarianism and goddamn media. I'm like, wow, this movie is ringing true more than ever.
Tony puts on the glasses and just says, watch Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes,
literally,
exactly.
Every time you guys post about a Star Wars thing, all I see is consume.
What is that? I didn't do it. I didn't post about it. I secretly watched Obi-Wan Kenobi and then conversed about it.
How could it possibly be good? They're all terrible.
I haven't watched it, and I also didn't see the second season of Mandalorian.
It starts up with a...
That is such a subjective question.
No, it's definitive. It's terrible. Ewan McGregor is the worst Obi-Wan Kenobi actor of all time.
Put it
this
way.
There's only been two.
Yes, what the fuck?
Put it this way. I thought we were going to get something completely different than what we got.
Okay.
And it just feels like an extension of the prequels, and I don't know how I feel about it yet. I've only watched the first two episodes.
I think it's the most realistic alien invasion movie.
Agreed, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're like, we're going to try to manipulate your mind this way and that way. We're going to team up with some of you. We're going to bribe you guys.
I love how Roddy Piper's just like a fucking bum.
Yeah.
My favorite. It's not like this guy who worked for the government or any of this bullshit. He's just like a regular ass dude.
Yeah,
no, I really like Roddy Piper in this. Keith David is really great.
David's great.
I love Buck Flower.
Meg Foster's good too.
He switches sides so quick. Like he's the bump.
Well, no, Buck Flower?
Spoiler, if you didn't know who Buck Flower was in the movie, you've probably seen him in 10,000 movies as a bum. I think literally the first episode of this show, Wishmaster, he's a bum in that movie.
He's a bum,
which is actually fun. So you don't really get to see Buck Flower as not a bum.
Yeah. He's in a fucking tuxedo.
He
he's
is.
Like,
yes.
You
see him in the tuxedo and he's looking really nice. Buck Flower was actually a decent looking guy.
Welcome to the alien thing, brothers.
Yeah. No, you're right. I love the whole alien invasion angle. And I love that, because already... Roddy Piper's character is not really integrated into society as the way it should be. Once he finds other aliens, he's just like, this is another thing I can't fit into. And he's like, well, fuck all of you.
Yeah. I love the glasses. I love.
But he believes in America and what it should be.
Well,
that's like me. I'm like, I believe in America. It doesn't exist for me, but I believe that it can. Keep going.
I love it when he puts on the glasses, though, the whole world is black and white. Even when they put the contacts in, it's still black and white.
Yeah.
And it really does symbolize, okay, this is what they want. You can see it nice and clear. You see the faces nice and clear. I just found that so fascinating because it rings true to society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. There's such a heavy message on it, but it's also so much fun. And it has the best fight scene.
Oh, it does.
Ever.
Put on the glasses.
What, the Keith David, Roddy Piper fight scene that goes on forever?
So long, but South it's Park so
No, no, that's
good.
The thing. It's one
so
of those,
real.
It's one of those things, it does feel like, he was a wrestler. It's one of those things where it feels like it's going on too long. But then it goes on just long enough where you're like, all right, now this is kind of funny.
That was fine.
I love when you think the fight is done.
Off screen.
I love when he's just making fun of the aliens.
You're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
He's like, you're okay. This one, real fucking ugly.
Yeah.
It was just fun and it felt very down to earth, but yet not at all in other parts. I just felt like it was just an awesome ride that kind of sits in the back of your head with a heavy message.
Yes.
To your point about the black and white stuff, that artistic choice to do that was so great because it's like the saying, like seeing things in black and
white.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Also, it helps with effects.
It's right there.
You can cover up effects with black and white a lot better.
Wow. Well, they don't look that bad.
Well, it's right. No, they're good effects,
really good.
But like, you know, we've talked about it all the time.
Like, oh, sure.
Compositing with the little ship flying around. In color, you would have noticed more. But
I mean,
black and white,
all kinds of stuff, from noise to film grain, all kinds of shit that can cover.
I love
stuff
the
like
aliens.
That.
They just look they're just the dumbest looking things, and I love them.
But they're so iconic looking.
I know.
Like, they're goofy, but they're awesome at the same time.
If you told me, like, someone was just like, yeah, I have these zombies left over. Yeah, sure, make them purple. They're aliens now. That's what it looks like.
It's like, Attack from Mars, or I'm sorry, Mars Attacks, and these aliens are my two favorite looking aliens.
Oh, yeah. they're ack-acking with
that's
the,
exactly
all the teeth.
What it
yeah.
is. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. They gotta like destroy a signal and whatnot. There's humans turning on other humans.
That I like a lot too, because it shows that anyone will do things for money and power.
Yes.
Because they're like, well, who else are you gonna side with? It's like, you literally just turn on your human race. You don't actually have any morals. You just care about yourself. What the fuck is wrong with you? But so much of society is like that.
That's the best part about Buck Flowers' character, is that he was just like this homeless dude with fucking no pot to piss in. And I was like, hey, fuck that. Let the aliens take over. Look at my suit.
Yeah.
And my watch. And I just ate at a buffet.
Thing. That's the thing. The aliens are, it's easy to take over Earth because like humans are so divided that they can like play them against each other and whatnot. Yeah. And it's got one of the best endings I've ever seen in a movie. I love that John Carpenter shouts himself out at the end.
Yeah.
Filmmakers like George Romero and John Carpenter have to show some restraint.
Like these movies by John Carpenter and George Romero. But I just love the guy at the bar. He's just like, people are like, oh,
shit. And they're all
and
like,
the reporters were the, like, spoiler at the end, people can now see the aliens. Yeah. You just see the reporters, like, why is everyone running? And
God, they're invisible. But that very last scene is the best to end on. It really, I was like, I thought there was more. And it really just
stops.
Where she's just like, you just see, like, topless chick on top of a guy.
Yeah.
But it's
like,
one of the aliens.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
I was like, that is the best.
And it's
ending
a shame
a
that
movie.
Like Roddy Piper didn't like he acted in more movies and stuff. We covered one on Tubi called Immortal Kombat where he actually teams up with Meg Foster again.
That's a great flick, and so is
that movie is really good.
It's really good, and so is Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Hell Comes to Frogtown's
You told me to watch that.
So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm like, I've seen three movies starring Roddy Piper and they're all great. I'm like, is he in more? I need to see more. I think he voiced a Green Lantern in this one Green Lantern animated film.
He might have. I mean, I know he's in more movies. I just can't think of him off the top of my head.
So, yeah. I really love They Live.
Yes. So, I guess my first favorite. I know what my favorite is. Ooh, finding a second favorite is a little rough.
Wait, we just only did our first favorite.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I meant like your first second. Favorite that you're.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think in recent years, I'm going by like what I rewatched the most.
Okay.
Right. That's what I went by.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, it was almost Big Trouble in Little China, because that is one that I watched like religiously, especially in college. That was my hangover movie. That was my go-to hangover movie.
So good, man.
I think it's Escape from New York.
Escape from New York. The ultimate adventure of escape and survival.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I rewatched that one a lot. I listened to the soundtrack of that film a lot.
It's so good.
That's a good soundtrack.
And again, Snake Play. You know what? I kind of want to group them together. Both escape movies. They're so good.
Draw.
I connect with the Snake Plissken character. Again, I think John Carpenter might have influenced my politics a little bit. I don't know. Because when the choice comes from protecting either... In the second film, he has a choice to either use this weapon to destroy America or its enemies, and he destroys the entire world and says, fuck it, just because they pissed him off that day. And I'm like, I fucking love this character. I love in the first one where you meet him, and you find out he was this military guy, and he just doesn't care anymore.
Oh, yeah. What's his line? Fuck your president.
He's like, get a new president. Yeah. I don't care about your war.
You seem to like really like a lot of John Carpenter movies as our characters that just don't give a fuck.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I love when he's like, the president like crashed New York, and Snake's like, president of what? Like, he doesn't even care.
He means nothing.
And by the way,
there.
It's such a great concept, the first one, where it's like, hey, you got to go in here, and you got to save this guy, and it's like a war zone. Mm-hmm. And it's since been done in many other things, like the Batman Arkham series.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Like the comic and the couple of the movie and the games. It's pretty much Escape from New York. It's like, you got to go to where all the bad.
That's what my wife said. When she saw it, she's like, oh, this is like Arkham City. I'm like, yeah,
it was vice versa. And who knows if they did this concept before. Maybe they did.
I feel like it's one of the first times they've done it.
James Cameron actually worked on the first one. Really? He did most of like the matte paintings and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's the visual
really cool. And they look great. The effects are pretty good in the first one. Not so much the plane falling. That one's bad. But like, they didn't like computer imagery for like the 3D model of the city. So they just had green glow in the dark tape and they filmed a miniature set. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
It looks awesome.
Yes. And like I said, a lot of people think the first one's a little too slow. I think it moves just well.
Are you an impatient person? You know what I mean?
I mean, the action could be like shot a little bit better, but for what we get, I think it's fine. I love the whole fight scene.
Depends on like what your style of movies are, though.
Yeah. I mean, but if you want a more action-packed version of the movie, well, thank God we have Escape from L.A. with the most amazing surf scene I've ever seen.
He surfs on lava or some shit?
No, he surfs just water. Oh. But, yeah, the water like washes it.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I don't know. I just think they're really good movies. The soundtrack is great. The look of the character is great. This was definitely... I watched this a lot in my I want to be Kurt Russell phase that I never accomplished.
I think everybody goes through that.
I did shoot a short film, and I can't put it on YouTube because it keeps getting taken down for copyright. In college, I did Escape from Jurassic Park, and it's Snake Plissken has to get the president's second favorite nephew or whatever.
Oh, my God.
In Jurassic Park. And it's so terrible. The effects are so bad.
There's too many damn dinosaurs.
But I had the camo pants, and this is when I was not 1,000 pounds, and I had the really long hair, and I'm like, I want to be Kurt Russell for the rest of my life. But yeah, I highly recommend Escape from New York. It's solid. And Escape from LA. I'm grouping them together.
That's fine. Double feature.
Yeah.
What's your next favorite one?
It's hard.
It's tough.
Do you not have one?
Yeah, but I'm just trying. They're going this one in my head. I would probably say The Thing.
That's your favorite.
That and In the Mouth of Madness are the two that I think are my favorites.
Okay.
Are we doing the
well,
best?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, well, now I need you to stop because we got to get to best.
Okay.
I guess if you exhausted your favorites already.
I mean, I really do like Prince of Darkness. It's like Mouth of Madness, They Live, Prince of Darkness.
No.
I do, like, it's hard because, like, Halloween is, like, I keep forgetting, like, Halloween's part.
Well, I will say my favorite is Halloween. Because that's the one, that tape right there.
Yeah.
That's the one I saw as the earliest as a kid. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with it. I'm still obsessed with this movie. Yeah. I've seen it a million. I know every line of dialogue in the film. Yeah. It led to my friendship with my best friend, who I'm still friends with to this day. Aww. We still quote this movie.
Tony's got friends.
Yes, I love everything about Halloween. It's such a good horror film, like a real down to earth horror film.
It's petrifying.
The sequels make it weird, but just like the idea of just like, yeah, these girls are just hanging out, and it's one of the few horror films where I actually get to know and care about the characters.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they're not like, the Friday 13th, they kind of like, this is the bitchy one, and that's the bitchy one.
Oh, right.
And that's the quiet one. She's a bitch. But Halloween, it's just like, no, this actually, and I always say this is important, because I think Deborah Hill wrote most of the women's dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it like rings a little true.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen what happens when men write high school women's dialogue. You get Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's such a good film. I love the
Jamie Lee Curtis as like your classic scream queen right there.
Yes.
Your classic. And created that classic final scream queen.
What it does with Condé cinematography, dude.
What it does with storytelling. Like there's that one rule that's like show, don't tell. But like Donald Pleasance just describing the origin and stuff of Michael Myers and his background is so effective.
It's a great monologue.
And I'm not going to linger on it too much because I did do a commentary track years ago, which is available on Patreon, where I talk about this film at length. But that is definitely my favorite. Now, I guess we'll get into the best. What's your best?
I think, okay, so we were talking about this off air, but it's one of these things where, like, the diversity in his films. You have action movies, you have dramas, you have love, even a love story, and semi-comedy, and horror, of course. And there's just all these different elements to all of these different things. So that's why it was so hard choosing which was my favorite in the first place. But I just chose ones that I watched a lot.
Yeah. The most.
I would say the best John Carpenter movie, and I'm talking super well-rounded, has a little bit of everything for everybody, it's Big Trouble in Little China.
That's really? A good one. That's a good one all to pick.
It's got the Chinese folklore. It's got your wisecracking action hero. You got a little bit of horror in there. You got a little bit of romance in there.
You got monsters.
You got monsters.
This is Johanna's. Like, I think I'm not here. I mean, she's not here, so I can't speak for her. I'm pretty sure this is her favorite John Carpenter movie. I introduced her to this movie, and she's like, this is the greatest
it's
thing.
It's fucking great.
It is.
That's another one where I love all of the characters. Yeah. I love the big, like, switch at the end where it's like, oh, Kurt Russell is not the hero.
No.
He's kind of a bubbling buffoon, and the other guy, it's kind of like when you watch Green Hornet.
Yeah.
And I just love at the end, he's just got the lipstick on. The entire time while fighting. No
he
other movie.
He stays a dickhead the entire movie.
No other movie would have the balls to, like, embarrass their hero for the final cut, like, the climactic battle.
They have no problems doing that. Like, when he goes in into the brothel and he wears the glasses.
Oh, my God.
Boy,
gosh.
I sure would like a Chinese girl with green
cats
eyes.
And dogs out there.
It was so.
It's endlessly quotable, too. Like,
oh, my God, the lines are insane.
To the army and navy and the country, the wars that they have won.
As to America's colors, the colors that never run.
May the wings of liberty never lose a feather.
I did a poster that just says Jack wants his truck back.
That's
which
funny.
Is basically, that has an origin, but yeah.
It's an incredible film.
I don't understand how it flopped, though. It seems like such a fun 80s
It might have
action.
Just been too weird at the time.
Again, really? It's one of those things where it's like, what is this?
It was almost a Western. The studio, I think that's, the studio,
it does play like that,
it
too.
It does, especially in the alley where they just go,
but I think it was one of
the even, like, the way the story goes.
The studio's like, we're not doing a Western. So, like, because I guess Westerns just weren't doing well. So they modernized it. But I think that makes it even better.
It's this weird cocktail that just works.
Yeah.
You're right. It's got pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Amazing
and
effects.
Really good. Yeah, really good special effects.
Great action. Great comedy.
Yeah.
It is. It's fun.
James Hong's a fucking treasure.
I want to read the comic where, isn't there a comic where Jack meets Snake Plissken? There's some comic, I think, where those two
meet. I never heard of that.
I know there's Big Trouble in Little China comics.
I do know that they exist, but I've never read them.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that crossover comic where they meet. Maybe they pick up MacReady on the way. that is a good choice for the best. What do you think?
It's tough. Like you were saying, there's such a different variety. And I always knew John Carpenter was a great director.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how great of a director he was until I did this little marathon yesterday. Because you have, like, amazing directors like, I don't know, Tarantino and stuff like that, where you watch the, like, if you do a marathon, you say that same vibe.
It's very formulaic.
Yes. These
are jumping all over the place.
Are fucking awesome.
Well, he also
and there's
has
a different
more. Tarantino only has a few movies, really.
But I'm just saying, like, directors in general, you get into their world.
Yeah.
He has such a variety. You don't get bored. I could have watched so many more John Carpenter movies yesterday because you are. Like, I literally go from Big Trouble in Little China to In the Mouth of Madness. Mm-hmm. And that I was like, this is insane. You literally directed these around a similar time period.
Yeah.
It's so different. So it's so hard to choose the best made one because it's not just one genre.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what makes it difficult.
It's hard. Yeah. It really is. Because, like, to me, Big Trouble in Little China is more of like almost like a action-packed comedy. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm between The Thing and Halloween.
Okay.
I'm between these two. Because Halloween is just this classic, everyone knows Halloween.
Yeah.
If out of all of his films, I would honestly say most people in this world would know Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Besides it just being a franchise, it's so rememberable.
Memorable, not rememberable.
Fuck you. Okay. Fuck you.
The grammar Nazi.
Yes. It's rememberable it
is,
to
it,
me.
It is memorable.
I forgot. I forgot. When you're here, I need to speak Crystal, okay?
Thank you. But yes, that is just so, but then also I think The Thing has been done so well.
So can you not decide?
I can't.
Well, tiebreaker. I'm going with The Thing as this best movie.
Okay.
And not just because it's the 40th anniversary and that's good for analytics. No, I'm going for The Thing because I really do think, like, top to bottom, like you said, well-rounded, like, story, screenplay, everything.
Yep.
I think this is, like, perfect.
It is.
I love this movie. Like, even as much as I love Halloween, there's still some, like, indie stuff. Like, there's noticeable stuff where it's like, wow, sure aren't a lot of palm trees in Illinois here.
My only contention is the fact that it's a remake.
Yeah, but barely. If anything, it's a good adaptation of the original novel, not so much a remake of that other
film. It's a great adaptation of the original. But no, it's one of the flagships that breathe new life from the atomic age into the contemporary.
Yes, the setting is great. The music is beautiful by Ennio Morricone. Oh, yeah. Usually I like John Carpenter's score, but his score is great.
Oh, it's great. I mean, he was like, hey, Ennio, do the bump bump. You know, like I do on mine. Yeah. You just do that.
And like I said, the creature effects, we talked about it a lot in, we talked about a lot in our Thing prequel.
Yes. The Rambotine effects,
And after we do this, me and Crystal are recording a commentary for The Thing, so we'll talk about it a little bit more.
Cool.
But yeah, I think it's an amazing film.
It is.
I'm glad it eventually became like a cult classic. I think TV helped because they played on TV a lot.
The same thing happened with like Terminator, you know?
Yeah. Which I mentioned in the Thing 2011 video, they have that awful TV version with narration.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was rough.
This is Outpost 31, and here's your cast of characters, and the dog.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. So it my grandfather introduced me to this movie, like a lot of these movies, and that's actually, this is the actual tape. Oh, no. This is the actual tape.
From Grandpa.
And I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. Like, he's like, hey, this is The Thing. I had heard of this movie previously because a friend of mine had the tape, but I didn't watch it. And then my grandfather had it. He's like, are you like John Carpenter with like Halloween and whatnot? I'm like, sure. He's like, well, let's watch this movie. And I was totally different. Cool. I'm like, oh, why are they trying to shoot that poor dog? Oh, my God. And of course, it's still in storage, but left such an effect on me. I bought that original toy with Kurt Russell and
the dog.
Yeah. And I'm still buying toys today, like this Kurt Russell, because he came with the hat.
Toys
you need
and
the
of course
hat.
On Peg Warmers, we cover this on Peg Warmers. I didn't check the box before I bought it, so someone cracked it open to steal the shotgun.
Funny.
They're doing the box set of the dog monster.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? That's cool.
I already have a dog monster.
Yeah, well, but now we can buy it again. Line.
Okay.
Two dog monsters.
And again, Keith David is in that one too. It's really the movie is great at making you think. Like to this day, I'm still not sure who is the thing and when they became the thing. It's like a movie that you can really think about for decades, as I'm doing.
The ultimate whodunit. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's such a great idea for a creature where it's just like, yeah, I can just. It could be anything. It does. It has no actual form.
Yeah.
It just mimics forms. Did that book ever come out, The Frozen Hell?
Yeah, it came out. I just never picked it up yet.
Okay.
What's that?
It's the...
He mentioned in the previous one. It's,
yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember what you said about
it. It's a short story?
Yeah, but it's the expanded
version.
That's
what it is. Yeah. I remember what you're saying. Expanded. I would love to read that.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, I'm going with the best is The Thing.
Now that you said all that,
So
the story, the acting, the effect, it really is.
So The Thing wins, Joe loses again.
Loses again.
No, we've been making bets lately. Yeah. I won the Jason Goes to Hell bet.
Well, he won the bet, but it's not that piece of trivia was incorrect. It just wasn't in the fucking movie.
Yes. Yeah,
trivia.
And then the fucking Alien and Alien comic is bullshit because it was a parallel fucking release.
Nah, I was right.
I will continue.
I just can't stop winning.
He reminds me of like.
I'm like, guys, like, I'm the Charlie Sheen of YouTube.
It's just better if they just say, yes, Tony, you are right.
But I wasn't wrong. I just said it wasn't in. It's just not in the movie.
He's good and smart.
I didn't say you were wrong about the scene existing.
I was in the shower the other day thinking about it. I'm like, fucking Tony. And I'm like, I know stuff. I know movies, right? Made me question my whole reality.
You were right. You were right that the thing existed. It just didn't, wasn't no, either version of the movie.
Stop thinking about Tony in the shower, please.
Speaking of the thing.
I can't help it.
Speaking of the thing, the effects are great. And I think we talked about it previously, but we'll do it here. There was one dodgy effect, and luckily they cut it out of the movie.
The stop motion? I like it, but I could see why it was cut.
Yeah, it's because the little bit of stop motion we see is real quick, yeah. And that scene lingers a little too much, but the dog comes out of him.
The thing with the dynamite.
Yeah.
I got lost real fast when you guys were just talking. I was like, what the fuck are you two talking about now?
Anyway.
I was like, wait, where'd we go? I'm so... Shower thoughts, anyway. Too.
I also think about the thing in the shower.
This
too.
Was our episode.
I remember you think about the thing that Tony. Okay.
I always think about when Norris gets, you know, his chest opens and bites off the guy's arms.
Such
That's
a good
what you,
scene.
Do you think about in the shower?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm like, wow, what a cool effect.
You guys think in the shower? I zone out. I'm like, how long have I been here? Oh, God.
Well, that's
wait.
At the end, right?
Like also zoning
where I still
out
get shampoo
thinking.
In my hair, and I'm like, wait, what time is it?
I sit in the shower and I'm just like, how
do you just
how
cry?
Many times do I have to bang my head on the wall to just end it?
Oh my God.
That's when you fill up the bathtub. Yeah. And you take a couple of fucking Tylenol PMs.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna do this show forever with that redheaded banshee. Oh God. Is this my life?
Yes.
Oh my God. I just realized my job is to talk about stupid movies with one of my ex-girlfriends. What is my fucking life? I need to go to Antarctica with just a bunch of bros and just get away from it all.
Would it be better if you think about mint? Is that a little bit better?
Mint is the light in the darkness.
I love it.
She's been lighting up my Instagram feed.
That's just me and Joe Hagman that causes him when the bag
mint
head salad,
mint salad is the diamond in the rough.
I fucking love mint.
We all love mint salad.
Everyone loves mint. But I'm glad it's just Johanna and I make him want to die. I'm glad I have that accomplishment in life.
I get a free pass because I lost that bet. Now Tony's like, yeah, you can always be on because I'm better than you.
Joe is my best friend because I keep winning her. Anyway, real off the rails there at the end, didn't it?
John Carpenter rules.
John Carpenter does rule. That is it from us. What do you think is the best John Carpenter movie, parentheses, that you've seen? And I highly recommend checking out
Asterisk
stuff.
That you've seen.
I highly recommend checking out Dark Star, Elvis if you can, and Prince of Darkness. Prince of Darkness is getting a little bit more well known these days. I think there's
the kills.
I think
and the effects.
I think they're gonna redo it as a miniseries. Or there were plans before lockdown. Really? There were plans to redo it as a miniseries, but I haven't heard anything since.
I mean,
then.
Whatever.
I don't know if I would like that as a miniseries. Maybe.
My only issue with Prince of Darkness is at the end, it's like the ultimate evil's coming, and it's like, oh, it's a big rubber hand.
Oops.
I'm like, could have done without that part. But other than that, I love the movie. It's just the big rubber hand. I'm like, I don't know about that.
Well, at least it'll drive people to seek out the original.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And like I said, there's a beautiful 4K restoration of it. I will shout out the 4K restoration of Halloween really threw me off. Have you watched it yet?
No, I don't have the 4K versions.
It's the original color correction.
So it's the cooler one or the warmer one?
The warmer one. So like people have seen the one from like 2000.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, the deep blues and the saturation and stuff.
Yeah.
So when I got it on 4K, it was the original color correction. They give you the option of having the original remaster on a separate Blu-ray.
But didn't Cundy like supervise that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so, but that's the thing. So you get the 4K one with the original from its release.
Right.
And then the other discs are like the, it's the Blu-ray version, and then the Blu-ray with the color correction from 2000.
That's cool.
And I think even the TV version's in there. But yeah, I thought my TV was messed up. I'm like, what's wrong with the colors?
Because you've seen that one so many times.
Only, Because the only time I've seen the original before the remaster was the fucking Blockbuster Presents.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what that looked like.
Could you imagine like authoring the DVD and be like, man, this is really warm. Let's just cool that down real
quick.
But
now that I've seen it and going back and watching the other cut, I'm like, wow, they really did fuck around with the colors a lot, didn't they? Michael Myers is straight up blue in a few scenes.
It makes it feel completely different.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Color is like the biggest difference. Yeah. It really does.
That's Mimic is a big one too with that. Yeah, with the color grading.
I love when you play with colors in movies. Mm-hmm. It just that's the same thing with like live entertainment too when you're playing with the colors.
Oh yeah, big time. It sets a mood.
Lights and colors is so tremendously important.
It's just as important as the music.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yes.
And it can change like the different looks of a character. It can make them look meaner. It can make them look nicer. It can make them look all different things. Mm-hmm. We can go on for hours talking about this.
But I highly recommend those, especially Body Bag. If you want to see John Carpenter act, definitely check out Body Bag.
It's a great anthology too.
Dude, Body Bags is good.
Yeah.
Body
You're really big with anthologies.
Love anthologies.
I love anthologies.
No one's talking to you.
You don't love anthologies. I love anthologies. Kidding.
Maybe I don't love them as much as you. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. You know I have a whole show dedicated to an anthology television show.
You know what? Fuck you. I hate anthologies. Just tell one story, you fuckers. God damn it.
Actually, it's like the best. I think that's my. Anthologies are my favorite because it allows you to tell stories in like a short amount of time. Yeah. You don't have to drag it out. You don't have to sit there and go, that's really cool and I love this. And then drag it out for a fucking hour and a half and then it falls apart.
Yeah. Check those out. Please like, share, and subscribe. Join our Patreon, our mailing list, call us on the voicemail line. Now that we're down to one a week, I have time to actually go through the voicemails and do them regularly.
Sweet.
It's going to be great. And we can do more Patreon content.
Woo!
Like the commentary we're about to record. After I do my premiere, because we're filming this right before a premiere.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to record one for The Thing, so you can hear me and Crystal talk more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me at MovieDumpsterPodcast.com. We're also on YouTube, too. So I know you're watching this right now, so jump over to Movie Dumpster when you're done here and subscribe, please.
Speaking of commentaries,
yeah,
me and Joe and Sean, we did one for Alien Private Eye.
Make sure you go over to Vinegar Syndrome and buy that Blu-ray.
Oh, I love Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, make sure.
By the way, you got me in trouble with an angry commenter over that.
Oh, why?
Apparently Red Letter covered it.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but then they were like ripping off Red Letter again. So I was like, oh, did they cover it? And then the guy was yelling at me more. And I'm like, well, they did a review. We did a commentary track.
That's what I said.
Yeah, and then he thinks I'm ripping off more stuff. And he brought up the time that I reviewed Shark Exorcist. He called it Demon Exorcist. I'm like, what is that? He's like, oh, Shark Exorcist. You ripped him off. And I was like, I've never reviewed Shark Exorcist.
Also, I'm sorry, but does Red Letter Media own the copyright to Alien Private Eye?
No, because I asked him. I was like, hey, you know, they've actually covered a lot of movies that Siskel and Ebert did. Do you give them shit?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I just love
that. What he did?
I love that he yelled at me for one, covering a movie that he got the name wrong of. He got mad at me for reviewing a movie that I didn't actually review. I shot something for the sequel that wasn't used, but I never reviewed Shark Exorcist.
No, and it's a thing of like, you know, the Blu-ray had just come out from Vinegar Syndrome, so I was like, oh, that would be a great one to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the commentary track is not on the Blu-ray. You need to buy the Blu-ray, sign up for our Patreons, and then you can listen to the commentary.
Because what you said, it is free on YouTube, but it's such a terrible VHS.
It's really bad, and Vinegar Syndrome did an amazing job cleaning it up, and it's worth it to own.
I don't know why. It's such a stupid...
That's why I love them so much, because they dig out these fucking nonsense titles.
Like the worst goddamn movie.
Probably because it's easy to get the rights and release, fine with me.
How far away are they from, like, hey guys, we're restoring Little Jimmy's sixth birthday from 1974. It's the music. We're gonna have the commentary track.
Well, they just did Scared to Death, which we're gonna cover, and that's the precursor to Singenor, which is a big favorite of mine, so I'm very excited for that. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And yeah, so check out Movie Dumpster, check out our stuff, and let us know in the comments what your favorite and what your favorite John Carpenter movie is and what you think the best John Carpenter movie is, and we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Bye. See ya.
We are waiting for the Dark Souls of fighting games. Let us have it. We're ready.
Soul Edge has nothing on a lightsaber. Like, I'm sorry.
James Earl Jones comes back.
No!
Oh no! Oh!
I don't think kids trade games anymore.
I need that sense of accomplishment, and it wasn't there. And I think that that was a major flaw.
The way they engineer these is just phenomenal.
As much as you're into like the comics, I was very into the toys, so I was on like the message board all the time. Yeah.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Check out our other videos and Patreon page.